Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Dude, that first hour absolutely flew by. A lot of Mario Cristobal talk. We'll get back into the college football stuff. Edinburgh, ESPN, he'll join us next segment. But we do have to address the other thing that, like, what, 2 days ago was the biggest news to happen in Portland, and then the Cristobal stuff. And that is, ding dong, the a-hole's dead.
Wow.
Look, let's call a spade a spade. Dude, that guy is a ass. I'm not saying he was the worst general manager in the world, but that guy was a ass. And to join us to talk about that, you can read his stuff on Blazers Edge. He's got a great podcast that he does with Brandon Sprague. I really enjoy it. At Jacked Ramsey's, if you want, you can find that wherever they, you know, find it on Twitter, wherever you go get your podcast. Danny Morang joins us. Danny, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Hey, not a problem, man. Listen, you had it right for the first time. Ding dong, the a-hole's dead.
There's not a Blazer fan alive that wasn't thrilled that finally came down. I still don't think we all have a full understanding of why he was fired. I mean, we all know he was an ass, but he's been an ass for 10 years. But it's also a weird time because I think it was so cathartic when he got let go. But then we have to realize that this team is still an absolute mess.
So this is my one I told you so. This is the bell I've been ringing for 6 years. If you stayed down this path, you were going to get to the point of perpetual stupidity where all of the chickens came home to roost. And I figured they'd have a couple here or there and be like, but you can deal with that. Instead, they all came home to roost. You've got nothing to show for LaMarcus. You've got nothing to show for Zach Collins. You've got a CJ McCollum contract that you're struggling with. Damian Lillard's dealing with an injury into his past prime years. You don't have tradable assets, and you're stuck in it now. You're quite literally on the precipice of, does it make sense to trade Damian Lillard? That's you're within arm's reach of that, and that is the dumbest possible timeline.
Yeah, you're 22 games into the season, and your brand new coach is saying, "Oh, I believe the quote was something to the effect of, I've never seen a bench have to motivate their starters."
Mm-hmm.
That's not. Yeah, and that's not good.
No, that's like nightmare fuel, man. And it's like, it's not like it's like something we haven't seen. It's been there all season long. The vibes have been bad. You've got a bunch of guys in contract years. You had 8 different guys in the roster, basically, that were promised, you know, more of something. And in reality, you can only promise more of something to 3 or 4 guys. And that's what happens when you have GM Bro, who just kind of goes out of his way to do things that realistically were never a problem. You're seeing a new coach with different personnel, so to speak. Hey, thank you. Mom's not here. Sorry, I've got a barking puppy. who you're now dealing with a situation where clearly it was the roster. It always has been the roster, and that is dawning with anybody who was sitting there thinking that Terry Stotts was the one to blame for all of this.
Danny, do you think the investigation as it went on uncovered a bomb, several little bombs, or was it, yeah, he is exactly who he thought he is, he's a jerk, but also the team is falling apart and it just makes sense now given that we've done this investigation and found, yes, he's a little bit of a jerk and the roster's bad, that now is the time and we'll put it under the guise of the investigation?
So I think this is what ends up happening. You do the investigation knowing full well, you know he's not a great dude. Like that's not a secret. They've got a monster legal team, and I'm sure there's probably going to be some recourse from Neil and his legal team because he was owed money and he feels like that you know, wasn't the case as far as, you know, being fired for cause. We'll probably hear a little bit about that as it goes, but I think they found enough to where they were comfortable enough to make that decision and fight it in the court. That's kind of how I've been led to believe that's going to go, because that would, for them to just flat out eat the money would be very different from what we have seen so far from this team as far as how they are managing finances. So I would be very surprised if it was just the basketball discourse and the vibes around the team that made them ultimately decide, you know what, we should probably fire Neil now. Hey, it's a Friday. We do news dumps really well. Let's do this on Friday.
Yeah, it's because normally when this sort of things happens, right, there's a catalyst behind it. Like, we know of the event, and, mm-hmm. you know, this – It's weird because there's a train of thought out there that but involves a staffer's death, and that's a sensitive mm-hmm. topic, and it's a lot of speculation, and so I think people tread very carefully, you know, around that. But I mean, outside of that kind of rumor that floats around out there and how that was dealt with internally, right? You know, there's really not any one thing other than we just hear stories of the guy would cuss people out and then he would yell at people. And I just don't remember another situation quite like this, where at this point, I mean, we're a month and a half into this, where more really hasn't been leaked. And this is, and like a lot of times it's stuff that you can't really, like what I just said, it's stuff that you can't really talk about, but you have a decent idea. Outside of that,
sure.
There's not even stuff like that's floating around out there. It's just it's very strange. I haven't seen anything like it in the 17 years I've been doing this.
No, I haven't either. When this all started up, I kicked around a ton of rocks. It's like, has anybody ever survived one of these things? And the answer was just no.
Yeah.
Nobody ever survives it. And it looked like for a second there that he might. And here's the thing, and I got to credit Mike Richin for saying this, because he was said it very often and very early on. If they wanted to fire the dude, they could just fire the dude. Like, they could pick whatever reason they wanted to fire him. And you didn't have to wait for an investigation to do anything. The investigation was very clearly about the money.
Yeah.
And he's, from what I understand, owed upwards of over $20 million.
Whew.
Well, which, I mean, that's not small coin.
No.
But here's the difference between Paul Allen and Jody Allen. Paul Allen didn't give a bleep. Jody Allen does. So one of them was worth, what, $40 billion? The other one's not.
Yeah.
Paul did what was necessary, and when it came to that kind of stuff, when it came to pay up, he paid up. When he wanted to fire, I mean, what he did to Kevin Pritchard, we all kind of know, you know, forcing him to do the draft before he was summarily shown the door. Rich Cho was shown a quick door. Like, PA didn't mess around with this stuff. So it's not like as Blazer fans or as people who've covered this team for a long time aren't familiar with the Allens and a quick trigger and money being no object. So there's a pretty decided shift in that regard as far as I think what motivated this. And I think over the next couple months, if that proves to be true, like we all think it is, I think we'll find out more in that regard is kind of how that all is going to play out.
We've all seen the Ben Simmons to Portland rumors. Who is the person that makes that call right now, or is there no one and they need to hire a new GM? What's the timeline before Portland can actually potentially make a move to salvage this roster?
So it's crazy, right? Joe Cronin's been with the organization longer than pretty much anybody right now. I think it was 2006 that he joined the team as an intern. And I've talked to a lot of people about Joe over the years and when they've changed hands and kind of what his role is. And I was led to believe that he was perfectly happy in the back room, just kind of advising and helping out. But now it sounds like he may want the big chair and maybe the team's willing to give it to him. The Danny Ainge stuff, I know everybody's like, oh, his name, all this kind of stuff. I talked to a bunch of folks from Boston with them in town the other night, and everybody's giant, you know, why would Danny take this job? And that was just, he's had two heart attacks. He's a devout Mormon. He's back in Utah. He gets to play GM as a consultant for the Jazz. He still gets the glad handshake have fun, go golfing, go back to Boston, throw on the Shamrock. Why on earth would he want to come to Portland right now and deal with this?
Well, you can get into tonight's game against the Clippers for a 200 level seat, $3 for the 300 level, $10 for the 200 level. That's how bad this is right now. I mean, this goes back when you're talking about being irrelevant. This goes back to the old Caleb Canales days. And I just didn't think with this roster and with Lillard that we could get to this point. And yet here we are.
It's as bad. This is as bad as it is. Those saying you might a couple, you know, chickens may come home to roost, but this is all of them. And the Simmons thing, listen, I hope Joe's empowered. If Joe is as smart and as hardworking as everybody says he is, a good dude, he's going to have better relations than Neil did. That was the one thing that I heard from people around the league, is that there's a reason why he conducted trades with, you know, the same like six teams, is because they didn't have great relationships with everybody else. So I hope that Joe's well-liked, well-respected, and has the capacity to really force a change, because you've got Ben Simmons or a player of his ilk joining Damian Lillard, or you're looking at dragging out the last couple years of Damian Lillard in mediocrity, or and then not getting anything for him, or the, you know, ultimate decision of moving on from Damian Lillard and hitting a hard reset on this franchise, which, I mean, I don't want to be that guy. I really don't. I don't want to trade Damian Lillard, because that's the whole point of the NBA, is to try to get one of these guys. But you've lost your president. You've lost your GM. Your contract situation is a mess. Clearly, players are very frustrated right now, or they don't care at all. You've got guys that are starters in Covington and Nurkic who have expiring deals. They were probably going to be shipped out anyways. There is so much chaos going on. Like, I don't know if you can steer this thing away from the cliffs. It's going to take it's going to take a major miracle to steer it away from the cliffs. And you can just see it crashing.
So to summarize, everything's going great. I look forward to reading your stuff again. Danny Murray, you can find him. He's all over the place. Blazers Edge. I really have been enjoying the podcast that Jack Ramsey's. I think you and Sprague do a great job on that. I encourage, if you're a Blazer fan, I highly recommend checking it out. And we hope that you heal up. I know you keep getting broken, so stop that.
Yeah, go in tomorrow for the pre-console, the hip replacement. So yeah, I'll be down for most of January, but I'm heading out to Hawaii on Monday or Sunday, so I get a little bit of joy before all the pain.
Even better. Get some, get a tan, and we'll catch up with you down the road. Appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, when we come back, we'll switch gears back to the world of college football. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, joins us to talk a little college football next. You've got 1080 to the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So much going on, but the world of college football just keeps spinning. And who better to bring on to talk about the unprecedented chaos, I would say, than ESPN senior college football writer Adam Rittenberg. Adam, thanks for taking a couple minutes for us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You know, it's weird in that we just announced the college football playoff, and I don't feel like anyone is discussing it at all. It somehow has taken a backseat to the whatever soap opera you want to call this. Let's go with As the World Turns. Have you ever seen anything quite like the last, 2 weeks as far as this this coaching carousel?
Yeah, not really. You always kind of prepare for, you know, jobs to open and what else could open. There's always a few surprises. But I think the thing is, this year has had, you know, two jobs that we thought could open that were big did open, which is USC and LSU. And then you've had some real surprises in terms of who they hired, you know, hiring, you know, the Notre Dame and the Oklahoma coach to fill those jobs. And then there's been, you know, like Washington was a surprise. You know, now Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon for Miami is a surprise. No one expected Miami necessarily to open this year. And so we've had like five or six of those. And so even like, jobs like Duke and Virginia that are open right now are getting no attention because these other ones are just, you know, so much wilder, and just the volume of the jobs and the names that are involved. You know, one thing that's sort of a misconception about the coaching carousel, as someone who's covered it for a while, is that a lot of schools that are Power Five schools hire Power Five head coaches. It doesn't happen that often. But this year it's happening at a historic rate, and that's why this cycle is so wild.
Yeah, I think I saw the little stat was 17 schools have reached a national championship this century. 11 of them have had coaching changes in the last 12 months. I mean, this just and a lot of them, like you said, being pulled from other places. I remember when Jimbo did it at Florida State, it was viewed as this, oh, my God, who would leave Florida State? And now it just kind of feels like with this influx of cash, anything goes. Miami just spent a program that historically does not have money and spend a bunch of money, basically spent $30 million to buy out their coach, buy out their new coach and his staff and bring him in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where you're seeing some financial, I don't know if anomaly is the right word, but there's some unusual things, just in the sense that like Michigan State agreed to a $95 million contract fully guaranteed with its coach. It's Michigan State. Not Ohio State, not Michigan, Michigan State. Then you have Miami, like you said, historically a program that did not pay or really invest in its program. They won mainly because they were located in a great place and they did hire some great coaches. But now they're investing. You know, the total cost of transaction when all is said and done, when Mario hires his staff, is going to be, you know, well over $100 million, which is just crazy to think about for a school that again, has not been a financial heavyweight, even though they've been at times an on-field heavyweight. So you're just seeing more money thrown around in the sport than ever before, which is great for coaches and their agents. But then you also have the flip side of it where, you know, Manny Diaz was treated very poorly at the end. So you're going to have more and more of that. Notre Dame, players were you know, felt like they were snubbed by their coach leaving. And thankfully they've kind of saved that situation with Marcus Freeman. But this seems to be more and more the norm where, you know, nobody just seems to be staying put and no school is just going to be patient. This is how it's going to be seemingly in the future.
Yeah. I felt bad for Manny Diaz for about 7 seconds. And then I realized one, he gets $8 million to not work. And he did the same thing to Temple 3 years ago where he took the job and then went back on Temple. So it's hard to feel sympathy for anyone in this. Honestly, I mean, there are those moments where you're like, well, you got treated very poorly, but chances are he did it to someone else, and you can feel bad that your school got poached. Like right now, I know a lot of Oregon fans are upset, but Oregon is probably currently trying to poach another Power Five. Like if I'm Oregon, I'm on the phone with Luke Fickle and saying, hey, when this thing's all said and done, you know, are you worth hanging around for? It just kind of feels that this is with NIL, and now with the transfer portal and with no having to sit out a year, I just feel like this is college football, whether we like it or not.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see if there are some adjustments, whether the recruiting calendar is adjusted or or schools just change their behavior. There's a lot of people who just feel like it's sort of recklessness at the time. I mean, you look at Miami, they did all this without having an athletic director in place, a permanent one at least.
Yeah.
And so who's really driving these decisions? It's not your sort of traditional athletic director. It's people that are on the outside. It's sometimes university administrators. And so it's a very wild, it's hard to predict whether this will be the same every year or whether we'll look back in 5 years and say, man, do you remember that 2021 coaching carousel where 35 jobs changed and 19 Power 5 jobs changed and say, wow, that was an outlier. So time will tell, but I think with the amount of money and the willingness of people that put up that money to, enforce change and demand change, it's probably going to be more like this than the way it used to be.
We're talking to Adam Rittenberg, senior writer, ESPN. So if on a national scope, because I think it's easy to get in a bubble up here in Oregon, because we look at the Ducks, who've been very successful really over the last, two or three decades, unbelievable facilities, played for national championships, haven't got over the hump. We all view this as an elite level job, but this is now two coaches in a row that have left for seemingly down programs in Florida State and Miami that are traditional powers, but not necessarily in the best position. Where does Oregon fit? When you look at this as a national writer, where does Oregon fit in the landscape of jobs in college football today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a top 20 job, top 15 job, but it has to be for the right person. And, it's a job that people at least recently have left, other than Mark Helfrich, who was fired. And he was a guy that viewed it as a dream job. And, you can certainly go back and ask, was that the right decision now, given the fact that they're now looking for their third head coach in 5 years. But I think, it's still a really, really good job. Like you mentioned, great resources, the unique and incredibly beneficial relationship with Phil Knight and the Nike company is something that's very attractive. I mean, I got an email from an Iowa State fan just now, demanding that I explain why Oregon's a more attractive job than Iowa State. It's really not that hard. But the reality is they've had some coaches leave, and those coaches had unique situations because they were from the state of Florida. I think if I'm Rob Mullins, if anybody calls me and says they want the job and they're from Florida, you're eliminated. I'm just not hiring you. I think they need to bring in somebody who views this as a long-term destination, because it isn't healthy for a program to go through this amount of coaching change, especially when they're having success. It's not like Oregon is a bottom tier program that went 3-9 this year. They were in the Pac-12 championship game. They were in the top four most of the season, positioned for the college football playoff. They beat freaking Ohio State. So they need to go out and get somebody and maybe sacrifice a little bit of the sizzle and the press conference and the initial enthusiasm and find someone who really wants to be there, not just for a year or two and bounce, but for, 5, 7, 10, however many years to really provide the type of stability to get this, because this program is not far away. As they're recruiting really well, and they may have their best team since the 2014 team next year, and so this is a very attractive job for a lot of coaches.
Yeah, I'd go make Dave Aranda tell me no. I'd go bring in $8 million and be like, hey, I know it's not Miami, but it's a hell of a lot better than Waco. What do you say? You mentioned that maybe things changing in, if people wanted to in the world of college football, whether it's changing the recruiting deadlines or putting some structure in place, some safeguards, because I do think with fans, I think you're turning off a lot of fans with this. But it's also there's no centralized government in the world of college football. And so is there any real motivation for these schools? Because it's right now it's the wild, wild west. Is there any motivation for them to do this? Can they see a problem coming down the road and maybe try to get together as a group and collectively address this?
Yeah, I'm laughing not at your question, but the phrase "get together as a group" and that just doesn't happen.
No,
in this, it's different someone's brought up the whole NFL policy, how you can't talk to another team's coach until after the season. That would never happen in college sports. Like you'd have to have too many people that have competing agendas, and you have these boosters that are motivating it. Like they never agree to just not do that. So I am curious. I do think the one thing that could maybe improve a situation is just to change the recruiting calendar to just a signing period when anyone wants to sign, and then allowing players to get out of their NLIs if their coaches leave. I do think the fact that everything in recruiting is really reaching a critical period here in a few weeks has certainly motivated schools to make changes earlier and then also to hire their new coaches. I mean, usually we don't have as many hirings by December 6th as we have right now. We usually have a number of openings, but at least in years past, those jobs would be filled a little bit later in the month, and then some would be filled in January. We could still have that, but it seems like even though this has been a wild coaching cycle, by the middle of this week to the end of this week, you could have most of these jobs filled, and at least the head coaching part of the carousel would be over.
Yeah, with a lot of these guys getting 10 years and $80 and $90 million, just and not national championship guys either. Just the Mel Tuckers and Mario Cristobals of the world, who are good coaches, that are now basically signing compensation packages worth upwards, like you said, of $80 to $90 million. It's just crazy how quickly this went from, I'm not going to say that it was ever non-professional, but just how quickly it caught up with the NFL.
No doubt. I mean, I was talking with an agent who represents a lot of NFL coaches yesterday, and he's getting messages from his clients all the time about, hey, let's talk about college. I mean, they're seeing these contracts, and yeah, they may not want to recruit, and the NFL has some lifestyle advantages that you don't have in college, but that money is there. And that money in some cases is higher than you're going to get in the NFL, certainly to be a college head coach. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see if you see more NFL head coaches or assistant coaches, rather, showing some interest in these college jobs. But kind of going back to your previous question, it's difficult because of the timing. So many college jobs really need to be filled well before the end of the NFL season. And the way a lot of the NFL coach contracts are structured is that you can't leave until the end of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see, if we see, if there's some crossover there, or also if the NFL does come after some of these college coaches, and then that'll create kind of another wave of the carousel. A lot of people have told me that, hey, this first wave or two has been crazy, but there could still be a third or fourth wave.
Jeez. And the one thing that we do know is don't bet against Nick Saban, because he's got one of his worst offensive lines, a receiving core that's nowhere near what he's used to, a non-NFL running back for the first time in a decade, and supposedly a weak defense, and they just blew out the undisputed number one team in the country. Shame on us for making Alabama an underdog.
No doubt. Yeah, after the SEC title game, I sent a text message to one of their assistants just with death, taxes, Saban, and he texted back a goat symbol because – he is. It's amazing. It kind of worked out perfect for him and Alabama to be doubted so much going into that Georgia game. And shame on us. We should know better by now to ever doubt what he's able to do in big game situations, especially against his former assistants. I know Jimbo Fisher finally got him earlier this year, but this is certainly not the team that they were last year. Now their quarterback, Bryce Young, is playing at a level that might even be better than Mac Jones, because he doesn't have the weapons around him that Mac had on the 2020 team. But other than that, Alabama's great, very good, but I wouldn't say elite on defense. They're certainly not elite at the line of scrimmage, as you mentioned, and yet they're still two wins away from repeating as national champion. And most people now are picking them to repeat as national champion.
You said it best, death, taxes, and Saban. He's Adam Rittenberg. You can find him, senior writer, ESPN. Really appreciate taking a couple minutes for us, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
All right, we come back, we'll get to In the News, and we've got some breaking decommitment news that Mr. Nemec is over there typing about right now. He looks extremely stressed. Something tells me that this isn't the first, and it won't be the last.
I have it in my update, so you will hear it in a second.
There you go. Here, Mike Lynch with SportsCenter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up in just a few moments here. My co-host over there feverishly pounding away. You all right?
Yeah, I was just thinking that's what she said, but I wasn't sure I was supposed to do that. Sorry.
Busy with your boy bangs?
Busy being boy banged.
No, I said busy with your boy bangs.
And I made a slight addendum to what you said and said I'm boy banged.
To reference last week's show.
No, I just think boy banged
standalone.
Notice
he's not mentioning anything about elephants.
Gosh.
So we had some more Oregon decommitment news.
Yep. Oregon's had three decommitments today. The first two, not massive hits. Tanner Bailey's a four-star quarterback. That quarterback room is loaded. They wanted a guy who was comfortable being a potential backup quarterback for multiple years.
Sure, because one of these guys is going to leave, whether it's Ashford or Butterfield or whoever.
Right, or Ty Thompson, but sure. Probably not Thompson. I checked with Thompson today. He said he's locked in. But whoever comes into that situation is coming into a situation where they have like two or three really good freshman quarterbacks. So they wanted a guy who was comfortable learning in a system. Tanner Bailey is a three-star quarterback on 24/7 Sports. He decommitted. TJ Dudley's a four-star linebacker. That one stings, from Alabama. He's a top 250 kid. And then just now, within the last 10 minutes, Kelvin Banks, the five-star offensive tackle, the unquestioned headline of your class, the number 12 prospect in the nation on Rivals, one of the top 7-8 commitments in program history, decommitted. And that was obvious the second Cristobal left. I asked him what his reason for committing to Oregon was in the first place, and he said, Coach Mirabal and Coach Cristobal, I love the idea of my head coach being an offensive line guy. Well, that went out the window when Mario Cristobal took that job. So where's Oregon now? Right now they have five top 250 commitments, players that are rated in the top 250 nationally. Last year they signed 15. This class is a down year. It was seven this morning before Cristobal left. Yeah. So they had fewer than half as many top 250 kids this year as they did last year. This was a down year in recruiting, and people haven't quite put that together because they saw ninth nationally and went, this is phenomenal. They were going to slide unless they added seven more great prospects. There are a bunch of programs right behind them that are still supposed to add 8-9 guys before signing day. So this class was probably going to end around 14 or 15. At this point, you don't have a ton that is game-changing talent to, like, let's just make a quick hire to make sure we salvage these guys. If Fickell, for example, is the hire and it takes a couple weeks,
you could be okay with
that. That's okay. You're not losing that much. Jaleel Florence and Jaleel Tucker are phenomenal players. They're both four-star DBs. They both go to Lincoln High School in San Diego. USC went to visit him today. That was first reported by Greg Biggins. I've since talked to Jaleel Florence about that. There does seem to be interest there. They have not set an official visit yet to USC, but it looks like it's headed that way. If USC wants him, I expect them to flip those two. Then they're down. Now there are three blue-chip kids, and at that point, yeah. What are we doing here?
So don't panic about losing the
the class by trying to make a quick hire, get the hire right, take the 1 year of recruiting hit, which was going to be a down class anyways, bounce back strong.
There was a chance that Oregon was going to finish with three or four big time elite prospects, and this was going to be an elite class, but it had to break exactly right. And it didn't really look like it was probably going that way, because there is some question about the stability of the program before Mario, with changing of offensive and defensive coordinators so often. So there was already some question with Mario leaving. Listen, I know these kids personally, so it hurts me to say don't worry about them. I'm not saying that. They matter. They're kids. Their feelings matter. But don't scramble to make the wrong hire to salvage a recruiting class that's probably going to finish outside the top 20 now regardless.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we will do an abbreviated In the News. It's been we've just been so jam-packed. We haven't got to any NFL stuff. We haven't talked about the college football playoff. We've barely got into the Oregon-Utah thing. So no bowl games that we've discussed. There is a ton going on right now. So we will do an abbreviated one segment In the News when we come back, and then get back on track in the 5 o'clock hour with the Hot 5 at 5. You're listening to Primetime here on 1080 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We're going to keep it short and sweet today and abbreviated In the News. Let's get right to it. It is December 6th in the year of our Lord, 2022. And that means it is time for In the News. I am your noted news contributor.
Well, you moved into the future.
What?
You said 2022.
Oh, did I?
You did.
2021. I'm over 2021. And so is it. We're done. We're moving ahead.
The thing was, after 2020, we all had such high expectations for 2021.
And 2021 kicks rocks.
And it let us down.
Moving ahead. Moving ahead to 2022. It's National St. Nicholas Day. So there we go. Go Santa. It's also National Miners Day, National Microwave Oven Day.
No, wait. Miners as in young children, or miners as in those with the pickaxe?
I think the pickaxe sort of thing.
Okay.
I would certainly hope so.
Just checking.
You of the bangs. Mm-hmm. The big story today, if you've been wondering why you can't drive anywhere on I-5, the police had a fatality happening there after a carjacking on I-5. Some dude this morning around 10 a.m. Carjacked multiple people, shot a lady in the stomach. I guess it's going to be non-life-threatening. She's going to be okay. But the police responded to it. He shot at the police. The police returned fire. He's dead. And I was hearing from plenty of people, and there's some creepy photos. He's just, I'm assuming he's gone now, but he was just laying in the highway. Like right there off like Rosa Parks on I-5, the people were like, taking like photos. It was all over Twitter. There was just the body laying there in the street. Yeah, and they shut down I-5 both directions.
Someone texted in and said they just drove over the bridge over I-5 and saw the body over on the road.
Yeah.
Like they just left it laying there for hours.
Well, remember too that I mean, when you have a shooting like that, I mean, especially in today's day and age, man, you got to make sure that, you know, I's are dotted and T's crossed and, you know, everything is buttoned down. So when you have a fatality, whether it's in a motor vehicle accident, or in this case, you know, a carjacking that ended up turning deadly. Yeah, all that stuff. You can't move anything. Everything has to be preserved for evidence. Although I feel much better that the carjacking victim, turns out they're going to be okay. At least that was the last report that I saw, and it was the carjacker himself. It's just kind of a surreal moment. I was like driving back today from working out, and I drive over an overpass where I can see the freeway running underneath it heading into Portland from where my gym is, and I was like, oh my god, like as far as I could see, I mean it wasn't moving at all, and I was like, what's happening? And then I got home and was like, was there a bridge lift or no fatality? And then like I happened to go to Twitter, and you know, it was just kind of weird to see him just laying there in the road.
The same person pulled off a home invasion to begin his crime spree this morning.
Jeez.
The police were called. He had left the home and then went and robbed multiple cars and then got onto I-5 South in a car going north, or flip that, going against traffic.
Yeah, going against traffic.
And then jumped out of the car, shot through the window, got the lady, and then tried to carjack her car.
Jeez. So we had an episode of, well, not an episode, we had the movie Heat going down on the I-5 freeway. How trippy is that to, like, if you're just sitting in traffic and then you just see some dude just get out of the car and start opening fire? Like, do you just duck? Do you get out of your car and run? Do you gun it? And they, like, what do you do in that situation? Do you try to, like, take him out? You try to ram him?
I think you're stuck based on, you know, everybody stops, so there's cars stacked. Yeah, so the only person that gets to make that decision is the guy closest to him.
That is true. Like, yeah,
everyone else is pinned in.
Yeah, everyone else just kind of stops.
And if you're the guy in front,
do you stop immediately? Or
I think you just run him over.
Yeah, dude, but, like, do you? I've thought about that before where, like, if you're driving, right, and you see like a battle going on between like a state trooper that's pulled over on the side of the road. Because, you know, you hear about those sometimes. It's like, do you swerve? Do you pull over? Like, do you dial 911? Do you keep going? Like, that's a weird situation.
I mean, if a guy points a gun at you on the freeway then you run him over. You duck and you run him over. But yeah, I don't.
You do the old lady where you just put your head down and you floor it and see what happens.
I don't know if I saw a cop like wrestling with a suspect on the side of the road. I would call 911, but I don't think I would stop and get out.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think about that sometimes because there's been...
You're a bigger guy than me, though. See, I'm a tiny man.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't know if I couldn't not do it. Like, if I saw someone on top of a, like, an officer, and you're like, oh my God, but then you're like, am I putting myself in danger? Well, the answer is yes. It's a very, that's a surreal.
Because there is a gun involved because the cop definitely has a gun on his person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird.
His or her person.
It's a weird thing to think about. And I don't know. I was just, you know, picturing that because a bunch of people on I-5 today saw a real life gun battle with a carjacking
going
the wrong way on I-5. I don't think that's part of your, that's not part of your everyday commute. And then the rest of it, you know, obviously the trickle-down effect. Normally it takes me about 20 to 22 minutes to drive in today. 1 hour and 47 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, when you think about, and that's just kind of the way our city is, but when one of the freeways is shut down, there's just, you have nowhere to go. Like, there's only two bridges.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I didn't see a thing on my way in.
Yeah, you were fine, right?
I cruised on in.
I coasted, and then I got here, and people were like, traffic's a nightmare. And I was like, somebody's lying for being late because yeah,
I just don't take
nothing,
I-5, so.
Yeah, there was, obviously.
Well, that's the thing. I took 205, and it took me, again, I live 6 minutes from the airport. It took me over 40 minutes to get over the 205 bridge because then, of course, you know, it was all rainy, and so what happens is there's now wrecks on 205 and there's wrecks on 84 because everyone's trying to get where they need to go and you're already slowed down from the carjacking on I-5. It's just a mess. Our city is just really, really poorly thought out when it comes to
traffic. Well, it was built
traffic.
For not this many people.
Yes.
They didn't expect the population boom.
And we've set a record for shootings already. Well, we're in December, but we're way past the record for shootings in a year.
I know. And that's kind of the thing, like, with this carjacking guy. It's because it wasn't just a carjacking, as you pointed out. It was a home invasion that turned into a carjacking.
Turned into multiple car break-ins and carjacking.
Like, what? I get meth is a hell of a thing, but what are you thinking? Like,
this is one of those, like, L.A.
Guess you haven't had meth recently.
L.A. late-night police chase videos that you follow where the dude is, like, you know, jumping between cars and jumping over fences and into shrubs and stealing other cars.
But it's 10 a.m.
I know.
Like, what are you doing?
That's what you expect to see on late night Twitter, but yet here it is in the morning in Portland.
And wouldn't you think that somewhere along the way you would realize the object is to get away? And so maybe robbing people at gunpoint on the freeway isn't the best way to get away? Like, you would think, like, okay, I had my home invasion. I just carjacked that person. I got a car. Maybe get across the bridge. Maybe try to lay low. No, you just decide to start robbing more people, and then you clip a lady?
Do you think at the last criminals meeting, they were like, where's the best place to rob someone? And they're like, you know what? People aren't paying attention walking into the mall. They're looking for their keys, da-da-da-da. And this dude's like, the freeway.
Yeah.
And they're like, you got to leave, man. It's like, I'll show you guys.
Watch this.
10 a.m. Monday.
It's going down. It just seems baffling to me that this is the train of thought, although, you know, he's a deceased criminal now, so maybe he wasn't the best and the brightest that we've had to offer, but, I mean, that certainly was the most dominant story. I mean, the other news stories I had was, like, we can harvest our own Christmas trees out in the forest. There was a Krampus festival in Portland if you wanted to celebrate the darker side of Christmas. which, by the way,
did you say Krampus?
Yeah, you've never celebrated Krampus?
Well, I thought it was Krampus.
It's Krampus.
I would say Krampus.
It's definitely Krampus.
Is it Krampus?
Yes.
That's how I've heard it.
It's definitely
I always thought
Krampus.
It was Krampus.
I mean,
I like well, where you're going based, with it. You're not accurate.
You gotta have the German sort of.
It's based in Germany, so it might really be Krampus. But the way we've heard it is Krampus.
That talk about Krampus.
Oh, see, when you listen, when you Krampus. Watch the movie Krampus or Krampus, the little old German lady, she always says Krampus, a darker spirit, which I fully embrace. I have a Krampus or Krampus bell at my house, and I feel like Santa Claus has kind of played out.
There was an American Dad episode with Krampus.
Krampus. I say bring it on. He's dark, he's evil, he eats children if they're brats, he's got cool goat hooves and horns. I didn't know that they had one of these Krampus festivals in Portland. I'm kind of bummed that I missed it.
I feel like malls should have both a Santa and a Krampus.
Yes.
And the Krampus, or Krampus, is very dark and there's like fire and very, very Satan-y vibe. And if you are bad, or even if you're flirting with the idea of my kid was bad, yeah, make him stand in the Krampus line for an hour.
Satan's pretty cool.
And then it's like, you know what? You've redeemed yourself with this patience over the last hour. Get back in the Santa line. Can't make any promises.
I like where you're going with this.
There should be a line. There's which line are we going to this year, kid?
There's a lot of bratty kids out there that could use a little straightening up. And I like that. And then as adult, if I want to, can I go sit on Krampus's lap? Because I think like a big evil goat creature that potentially hands out presents, but also potentially eats children. I think that's kind of cool. I kind of want to get on board with that. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's actually pretty solid. It's got Ben Wyatt from Parks and Rec. He's the dad in it. And
Adam McKay? Is that his name?
No. What is his name? I forget. But then they've got the champ from Anchorman.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott is also in it. I highly recommend putting that in your Christmas holiday movie rotation,
done,
if you will.
And done.
It's got evil gingerbread men and teddy bears. So just to give you an idea of where it's going. All right, that is in the news for today. When we come back, we'll get into the hot 5 at 5. We'll try to squeeze in some NFL stuff, but so much college football stuff still to address, including the big news of the day, which is Mario Cristobal officially taking a job at the University of Miami. Hot 5 at 5 when we come back. You've got 1080 to the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.